Our topic for today is You Use, the World Community, and You. The sixth principle of the seven being promoted by the Unitarian Universalist Association is the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. The children's version, the kids' version, is build a fair and peaceful world. Today, I want to review with you what UUs are already doing with regard to this sixth principle, how the world is now changing, and what we as individuals should be doing. Our UU denomination is based in the United States, but from the start, other parts of the world have played a major role in our becoming what we are. In Palestine, during the first three centuries after the death of Jesus, the Ebionites maintained that Jesus was not God, but only the Messiah, chosen by God to be King of the Jews. Michael Servetus, a 16th century scholar and physician whose treatise on the errors of the Trinity is often viewed as the first expression of our modern Unitarianism, was a Spaniard who lived most of his life traveling in Europe, trying to escape from both Catholic and Protestant religious authorities. And he ended up being burned at the stake in Geneva, Switzerland, by John Calvin. Italian Anabaptists and their allies were able to convene the Anti-Trinitarian Council of Venice in 1550. Anti-Trinitarian ideas were advanced by Laelius Socinus and his nephew Faustus Socinus in Italy. In 1579, Faustus went to Poland and became a leader in the Minor Reformed Church, also known as the Polish Brethren. In 1638, the Polish government, as part of the Counter-Reformation, required these Socinians to either convert to Catholicism or leave Poland. As a result, many emigrated to Transylvania, Holland, Germany, and Britain, taking their Unitarian ideas with them. In Transylvania, Ferenc David, actually we would say David Ferenc because they put their family name first, Ferenc David preached these same ideas as early as 1566. And in 1568, King Sigismund's Edict of Torda, also called Edict of Toleration, allowed public affirmation of these non-Trinitarian ideas. And it was in 1600 that these believers were officially called Unitarians. The Transylvanian Unitarian churches are still active, but now Transylvania belongs to Romania instead of Austria. It was transferred after World War I from the control of Austria-Hungary to Romania. The first organized Unitarian congregation in England was the Essex Street Church in London, which was established by Theophilus Lindsay and Joseph Priestley in 1774. And of course, Priestley later came to the United States, the discoverer of oxygen. King's Chapel in Boston was the first congregation in the United States to accept Unitarian ideas, and that was in 1782. The American Unitarian Association was formed in Boston in 1825. And the Unitarian Universalist Association was formed as a merger of those two groups in 1961. That's only 53 years ago that our UUA denomination was created. One example of the international outreach already being done by American Unitarian Universalists is the work of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. In 1939, at the beginning of World War II, Unitarians began helping refugees escaping from Nazi persecution in Europe. A year later, a service committee was formally organized, and the relief work was continuously focused in Europe. In 1963, the Unitarian Service Committee and the Universalist Service Committee were combined to form the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, the UUSC. Now that Unitarian Universalist Service Committee is engaged in humanitarian relief work in 15 countries throughout the world, including Haiti, Guatemala, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Sudan, Kenya, and Uganda. So that is our worldwide effort. You may be familiar with the UUSC's Guest at Your Table program, which is carried out each year from Thanksgiving to Christmas in order to gather contributions for their humanitarian work. And the former UUA president, Reverend Dr. William Scholes, is the president and the CEO of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. You may recall the reading we used at the beginning of service was also his creation. Another example of international outreach by the American Unitarian Universalists is the UU United Nations office, which is located in New York, very close to the United Nations, walking distance away. In 1946, right after World War II, the Unitarians appointed Elvira Franklin to be an official delegate to the UN. And in the 1950s, both Unitarians and Universalists adopted resolutions of support for the United Nations. The UN office was established in 1962 at the suggestion of Unitarian U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Adlai Stevenson. And he suggested that each UU congregation should have an envoy to the UN. And in fact, that is the way it is now, and I am the envoy for this particular congregation. And the materials about the UUUN office are on the wall right behind me, on the other side. From 1965 to 1970, the UUUN office was financially supported by the denomination itself. But in 1971, because of financial troubles, the UUUN office had to be set up independently and supported by individual contributions. But that was changed again in 2011 when the UUA again made the UUUN office part of the denomination's work in connection with its International Resources Department. But the UUUN office still seeks individual contributions as well. The UUUNO holds consultative status with the UN Economic and Social Council and the UN Department of Public Information dealing with non-governmental organizations. In fact, UUUNO Director Bruce Knotts has played a leading role in generating support for protecting GLBT rights and other human rights internationally, as well as continuing the work that the UU was already doing with regard to UN programs on climate change and sustainable development, children's welfare, disarmament, elimination of weapons of mass destruction, and religious tolerance. So that office at the UN is an extremely active part of our work. Another example of our international outreach is the UU Partner Church Council, the UUPCC. This program began its partnering program between UU congregations in the United States and Canada and a Unitarian congregation in some other country which needs financial and other kinds of assistance. At first, all these partner churches were in Transylvania, but now they might be in Hungary or the Czech Republic or the Philippines or India, Hong Kong, Kenya, Burundi, other countries where this partners program is active. In fact, if you go to their website, you'll see that they're now seeking some churches to be partner churches with other Unitarian churches in the Philippines, Hong Kong, for example. The goal is to foster interpersonal relationships and unique educational experiences, as well as to provide assistance to the less affluent, less well-established Unitarian churches in other parts of the world. Both of the larger churches in the St. Louis area, First Unitarian Church on Waterman and Elliott Chapel, both of them have partner churches in Transylvania and have regular groups that go and visit those churches. Another example of international outreach is the International Council of Unitarian Universalists, ICUU, which was founded in 1995 in Essex, Massachusetts. This organization at first brought together mainly English-speaking countries, the United States, Canada, Australia, Britain, and New Zealand, plus, from the beginning, the Unitarians in Transylvania and some few other European countries. But now that UU Council, the International Council, also includes other Unitarian groups in Asia and African countries. This council is made up of delegates from the national bodies, and it meets every 2 years. You may remember that in the March newsletter, I had a report of my visit to the meeting that was held this year at the end of January in New York. At this year's meeting, there were 125 participants from 26 countries. Listen to this list of countries: Australia, Austria, Belgium, Bolivia, Burundi, Canada, Colombia, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Germany, Hong Kong, Hungary, India, Italy, Kenya, Mexico, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Nigeria, Philippines, Romania, South Africa, Spain, Switzerland, United Kingdom, and the United States. Think of how that international meeting was such a breakthrough for Unitarian Universalists. And there are photos and reports from it that are readily available on the internet at www.icuu.net. And you could go there and see these people from all the different countries that came and participated in that conference. Now, there's one more example of international outreach that I have a particular interest in, and this is the Unitarian Universalist Esperanto Network, UUEN. The UU Esperanto Network was formed in 2007 and became an associate member of the ICUU in 2009. In 2007, the UUEN president, Sherry Wells from Michigan, attended the ICUU conference in Germany. And in 2009, I attended the ICUU conference in Cluj, Transylvania, Romania. In this year, both of us attended the ICUU conference in New York. Also, members of the UUEN have helped to publicize Esperanto at our national general assemblies almost every year since 2007. As you know, the idea of Esperanto is a language that one can use with people all over the world. And our UU Esperanto network has members in other countries. That meant that we didn't fit in very well with the way the ICUU was structured, because it was structured to handle national organizations in these other countries. And we were not a national organization. That's why we had to be an associate member rather than a regular member. We couldn't join as a regular member. And there has been a less than completely good relationship because the ICUU just uses English, although they are starting to use some of the other national languages. Our efforts to persuade them that they should try to use Esperanto have been completely unsuccessful. But this incident, this situation, gives me a chance to move to my next point. And that is the difference between internationalism that we have in these other UU international organizations and the globalism that's represented by the UU Esperanto network. Remember that inter is the Latin word for between. So international is between national governments. At this time in human history, we are living through a fundamental shift in the nature of our human community from the internationalism of the 19th and 20th centuries to the globalism of the 21st century. To better understand that distinction, think on the one hand of a globe or a map of the world where the different nation states are in different colors and where each is separated from the others by a black line. That is the image for internationalism, thinking of the world as made up of countries. On the other hand, what is the image for globalism? It is the photo of Earth from space, where there are no black lines for national borders, and where the common destiny of all of us on planet Earth is more obvious. That black background shows how isolated Earth is from all the rest of our universe. In international organizations, such as the UU UN Office, the UUPCC, and the ICUU, and even in the United Nations itself, the focus is on relations between national governments. And it's also on the use of national languages, with English becoming more and more important. But in global organizations, such as the UU Esperanto Network, and to some extent even in the UU Service Committee, national identity and national language are subordinated to a planetary global viewpoint. This present-day shift from internationalism to globalism has implications for each of us individually. Each of us should think of ourselves first as citizens of the world community, and only secondarily as citizens of this country, as Americans. Just as now we usually think of ourselves first as citizens of the United States and only secondarily as citizens of Illinois or citizens of Missouri. just not as important as being a citizen of the United States. With regard to community loyalty, our concern for what is good for our country should be subordinated to what is good for the whole world community. Simultaneously, we should also do what we can to transform the often ineffective UN into a democratic world government, a world federation, just as our own founding fathers transformed the often ineffective Articles of Confederation into the federally structured United States of America. The same thing that was done over 200 years ago for our country now has to be done for the world. With regard to language use, all of us can be pleased that English seems to be on its way to becoming the main language for the world community. But if others are going to have to learn a second language, shouldn't we English-speaking people do likewise? And no choice makes more sense than to learn the easier-to-learn nationality-neutral language, Esperanto. Become part of the world community. I can tell you my own experience with Esperanto. I now have personal friends in China, in Romania, in Brazil, people that I've known and been able to communicate, meet face-to-face, because they also are Esperantists. This summer I'll be going to Argentina for the annual Universal Congreso. In order to do our part in assisting this transition from international to globalism, we should also support non-governmental organizations, both those that are UU-related as well as other NGOs, such as Amnesty International, the Sierra Club, Doctors Without Borders, Heifer International, Human Rights Watch, and so on. These non-governmental organizations are the bridge that we need during this transition from internationalism to globalism. It should be evident that the sixth principle of promoting the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all will not be easily accomplished. It's not something that we can do quickly. But nevertheless, it is the kind of goal that we need, a goal that will keep challenging us and our children and our grandchildren and even generations after that. It is also a goal that challenges us at this critical moment in human history as we live through this monumental transition in human history from internationalism to globalism, an exciting but challenging time to be alive. Thank you.